Hello and welcome to Rapid Access Radio, presented by ProTech Central, Episode 8, August 2025. Hi, I'm Sean Mullen, your host. Today's guest is Shane Mullen of Device Disposal and Consulting. This runs just over 29 minutes. Friends, you are in for a treat today. We are visiting with the one and only brother that I have, Shane Mullen. Shane is the best brother anyone could ever ask for. He's kind, he's generous, he's giving, he's loving, and boy, is he smart when it comes to explosives disposal and proper disposal of condensed aerosol generators. And we are just so super jazzed to welcome him to the microphones of Rapid Access Radio presented by ProTech Central. So brother, welcome. We're glad you're here.
And great to be here.
I just think we're going to have a great time. And so thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us. So Shane, let's start with your story. Share with our listeners what first led you into the world of explosive device management and disposal.
Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks again for the great introduction. Flattery will get you everywhere, so I'll take it.
I'll expect an extra big Christmas gift, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll poke your eye out, kid.
It'll poke my eye out, okay.
So, yeah, my journey began back in the late 80s. I worked in the life safety arena, and at that particular time in the 80s, I was basically a field technician, and over the years, eventually worked into an office spot and kind of ended up in the operations management role for quite some time, and really during that time, I was exposed to all types of various systems, but certainly, both the fire suppression and the explosion protection arenas became kind of front and center to me. And through coworkers and just through various trainings and things of that nature over the years, I really began to develop a more than a casual interest in the explosive devices that were used in those applications. So that's kind of how the ball got started, really.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so within this very, very specialized market segment, you're kind of the market leader. I mean, with more than, my gosh, 30 years of experience, you know, what changes have you seen in the industry and how have they evolved and how did that shape the founding that you decided to break away and start DD&C back in 2005?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think really the evolution to our industry, and thanks for saying that. I mean, we kind of have been a lone wolf out here for years. there's not a whole lot of companies that just specialize in what we do. And so I think the evolution is really centered around a handful of areas. Number one, kind of innovation. Technology, obviously, but the big player is regulatory compliance and risk management.
Right.
You know, the adaptation then, as we've moved here, especially over the past 15 years, the adaptation of environmentally sustainable practices, you know, clean movement, green movement, all of those areas played and continue to play an ever-increasing role in the formation of why we're here. So.
Yeah. So the industry, if memory serves correctly, the industry really started as a result of 9/11, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that tragic day, It really caused the federal ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, to reassess industrial applications of explosives devices. And if memory serves, we at ProTech Central kind of got caught up in all of that. Yeah. And because we do use explosive initiators for release of our system cylinders.
Yep.
And as I recall, we were kind of scrambling to figure out, okay, how do we do this right? And then you kind of came in and said, hey, there's a right way and a wrong way. And if you guys want to do it right and to the letter of the law, you need to do it this way. And DD&C was born, right?
That's exactly it. You know, there's an old saying, I guess, that says when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we're going to change. And unfortunately, you know, for the country, you know, 9/11 has changed a lot of things. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's no exception to what we're talking about today, because it really is. Where we are sitting today as an industry was born on 9/11.
Yeah.
The actual growing of legs, if you will, and developing into something else didn't really begin until November of 2002. And on the 25th of November that year, President Bush had signed the Homeland Security Act. And okay. Tucked away in that massive legislation is there are provisions known as the Safe Explosives Act. This act dramatically expanded the federal regulations concerning all aspects of explosive use, handling, transportation, and its intent when signed was to prevent terrorists and criminals from obtaining explosives. And so what they did is they imposed a series of permitting and licensing and background clearance requirements for all users, all manufacturers, all dealers, all importers of explosives. So it was born on on September 11th. It was hatched, if you will, in November of 2002. But the life safety arena, the EP arena, the suppression arena, didn't get baptized with this until 2005.
Yeah.
Because between 2002 and 2005, the ATF had issued variances to certain industries, of which we were one, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Where we used what the ATF classified as special explosive devices. And so these variances between 2002 and 2005 exempted the suppression arena, the explosion protection arena, from any of that licensing stuff.
Right.
And so the morning that we or even other life safety companies awoke to the mailbox, receiving notifications from manufacturers or even the ATF that exemption was revoked, is really when we started to pay more attention to what was going on. And basically what that revocation did was not only remove the variances, but it then required by law for these companies and their users, okay, employees, to obtain federal explosive licensing. And so it was born out of that and hatched out of that that I began to see a need for not only the compliant disposal of the devices, but an opportunity really to expand and educate the safe handling and storage of these uses that for years, you know, all of us, and I'm the first to admit, I handled these things kind of willy-nilly back in the day, really knowing what the capacity was that they could do. And so when this presented itself, the gap that I saw that needed to be filled, if you will, rested in the area of education. Centering specifically on the safe handling, use, storage, transportation, all of that. Right. You know, this wasn't, and I'm going to out myself here. nobody else has to join me on it, but This is, you know, the days of making potato guns and launching stuff across rivers are over.
Yeah.
There's some serious consequences that came with these, and we needed to begin to treat them with the respect that they deserve. So
sure.
That's kind of how it may be more than what your listeners want, but that's kind of how we got to where we're the beginning of it anyway.
No, I think the value to our listeners is your expertise. I mean, you are kind of, and I may be wrong on this, but it seems to me like you're an industry of one. I mean, who else is doing this that you know of? Anybody?
Well, we kind of keep our spoon in our own bowl with what we
do. Sure.
And so we don't branch out into all of the various disposal areas that could be in the explosives world. I mean, there are gigantic corporations that handle this kind of, you know, large scale stuff.
Yeah.
But as it relates to industry specific, you know, the fire suppression and explosion protection arenas.
Yep.
That is our niche. And I don't believe there's anybody else there. At least there hasn't been up to this particular point, any other real players in that market.
Well, and I don't think there will be, because to catch you and your expertise, I think would require a tremendous amount of experience and education just to get up to speed with where you're at. So, mm-hmm. So look, you know, as you said, education seems to be at the core of DD&C, device disposal and consulting, of which you're the managing director. Why is that such a vital piece of your business model? And, you know, really, how does that translate into value for the clients that you serve?
Well, again, I don't think you can solve a problem until you understand what the problem really is. All right. And for us, you know, DD&C is considered kind of that end of life facility, mm-hmm.
with our licensing
under our federal license. All right. And with that being said, you know, we really, this documentation process through education. Okay. Because again, going back to 2005, when a lot of us, you know, were woke up that morning and we're reading this letter and we're like, we don't know what to do, who to go to, who to talk to. What are we getting, you know, and when you deal with the federal regulations, you know, you're not going to get necessarily a straight answer right out of the box.
Right.
And so it began with education. And for us, it continues with education simply because the more we know about said problem, the more we understand, you know, how we can walk through it. And really, that's kind of why education remains at the forefront of where we're at.
Well, and your website is really a treasure trove of helping folks understand the implications of compliance and how to do that. So very, very, very impressive along the way. Friends, we're having a great conversation with my brother, Shane Mullen, yes. who is managing director of Device Disposal and Consulting. Who specializes in the proper ATF-compliant disposal of explosives used in fire suppression applications, but also the end-of-life disposal of condensed aerosol fire suppression generators. And this is a new vista for DD&C. And so let's talk about those. For those who are unfamiliar, what are they? And can you share where they might typically be found?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back in 2019, I was at a conference, a national conference, and we had an opportunity to have some discussions with Statix, who is, in my opinion, one of the leading manufacturers of aerosol generators, and we developed a conversation regarding the disposal of those things, and that's kind of where things got started there. But to answer your question, you know, in layman's terms, aerosol generators are basically specialized devices that have been designed to quickly produce a dense aerosol cloud of fire suppressing agent to extinguish the fire. I'm not the engineer. I'm not a chemist. I don't know how all that stuff works. I blow stuff up for a living. But these devices, you know, these generators can be found in a really wide range of applications, you know, data centers, server rooms, telco sites, control rooms, you know, industrial cabinets, electrical cabinets, you know, and even so far as to say a lot of military vehicles have these units in them.
Yeah.
And so that's really kind of a layman's explanation of what it is and where they're at.
What makes these generators a unique challenge when it comes to end of life disposal?
Yeah, our documentation process is seamless as far as, you know, the record keeping requirements and things that we do. And let me be very, very clear about what I'm talking about on aerosol generators. They are not held to any quote unquote ATF or federal regulations. Okay.
Right. So that's
they don't have to play. They don't have to play by those rules, which is good. However, saying that, the disposal challenge really rests in all centers around accessing the various forms of ignition sources that they have.
Sure.
And so, you know, some of these generators are thermal, some of them are electrical, but either way, they kind of create a challenge to making these devices inert and then safe, obviously, for our teams to break down and eventually dispose of. So the challenge is access, really.
Yeah.
We've spent some time honing our process. We're very protective of that process.
Naturally.
That's been the biggest challenge, really, is to safely access them without firing them off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I you and I are made obviously of the same DNA.
Oh yeah.
But neither one of us are what I would call ambulance chasers. But by the same token, we're rule followers. And right. I'm just kind of curious. Maybe this is more of just some idle curiosity. But what's the worst case scenario if expired or forgotten explosive devices aren't dealt with properly?
Worst case scenario is death.
Oh.
More commonly, dismemberment and severe injury. If you have a problem that money will solve, you don't have a problem. All right. And so when it really starts to impact individuals, you know, from a physical standpoint, you know,
sure.
Loss of fingers, whatever. You know, again, it all boils down to education, and you don't know what you don't know. Okay.
Sure.
And right. So it really does rest with the companies taking a stance on the safe handling and use of these things. And so, I mean, worst case scenario is death. You know, unfortunately, that has happened. It's not been in any of the time frame that I've been around, but I know back in the day that those kind of things, while not frequent, did happen. But more importantly, the dismemberment, you know, loss of fingers, serious burns, stuff like that, which is catastrophic and enough in and of itself.
So, friends, once again, we're visiting with Shane Mullen, who is managing director of Device Disposal and Consulting. And yes, he happens to be my brother.
Absolutely.
He's Shane. He's Shane. I'm Sean.
Yep.
And we're not twins.
Nope.
He is an expert when it comes to the proper disposal of explosives used in fire suppression, as well as the proper disposal of condensed aerosol generators. So Shane, in your experience, and we're talking 30 plus years in the game, how well are most organizations in the tracking of the life cycle of these types of devices? And where do they fall short, do you think?
Again, I think it's better than what it was. Okay. And sure. By that, I mean that, you know, even though we have kind of been a pioneer in this particular industry, you know, it hasn't come without the support of the relationships that we've built over the years with the customers that we have. And out of that experience has come a great deal of working knowledge for the development of the tracking systems that, that companies utilize. Now, this tracking, especially if they have a federal license or a federal permit, you know, they're going to all have to kind of play by the same rules. The firm that, that doesn't necessarily, they're not required to have a federal license because of the devices that they have.
Right.
They may not be as familiar with the tracking processes that other companies may be. So we employ and started years ago, it's been kind of a catchphrase, cradle to grave, documentation process.
Right.
And really that is exactly what it says. It's we follow the device from the inception of the device till the detonation of the device and all points in between. Now, obviously, a lot of our customers don't necessarily have to adhere to that stringent of a documentation procedure.
Right.
But we find that most who have adopted that have really gotten themselves in good stead with any regulatory outfit that should come in. Not necessarily just the ATF, but you know, if they get a visit from the Department of Transportation, or they get somebody from the Department of Environmental Quality, the EPA, at least they're able to say, yes, we have a process in place. This is the firm that we use to do it. And these are the documents that have been supplied to us. And so documentation is absolutely critical.
You know, you touch on an important thing. We're not just talking about ATF compliance. We're talking about issues, as you say, from an environmental standpoint with the EPA, or maybe more intimately, state requirements, whether it be from a state environmental compliance agency or a state explosives agency. You know, you provide a wonderful 360-degree view of what those things are, and I know that your clients appreciate that. So just thinking about as an industry where often out of sight means out of mind, mm-hmm. how do you stay top of mind with your clients until they realize that they need you?
You know, we're not the best at marketing. All right, I'll be the first to admit that. And so, while we do have, you know, we have a social presence on LinkedIn, and we do try to post, you know, at least 3 or 4 times a month some informational piece, so that we can kind of keep it in front of the customer base. But this out of sight, out of mind is. You know, unfortunately, I guess I'm going to go back to that statement I made just a little bit ago, and that is simply that, you know, pain unfortunately becomes a motivator in what we do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we will hear from individuals that aren't customers yet, companies that are not involved in our services yet, and it's usually under some very urgent condition.
I see.
And when that happens, you know, I don't look to go back and say, okay, why did we get to this point? What we look to do is solve the problem. Okay.
Right.
And then we go back and we begin to work with them on how they can prevent or mitigate, if you will, their contingent liabilities moving forward. And, you know, it's this out of sight, out of mind is for all of us, I guess it can be a real issue.
Sure.
Part of this educational piece that we talk about is keeping this information front and center, because a lot of times people are go back to the old guard, if you will, that, hey, man, we just take these things. We, you know, hell, they've been rolling around in my truck for 14 years. I don't know why I got to deal with it now. Well, all of a sudden you're getting pulled over, and, you know, the local state patrol is doing whatever, and they happen to see these things in there, and then there's an issue. That ounce of prevention that everybody talks about really applies in our industry.
Yeah, that's good information. Friends, We're visiting with Shane Mullen, Managing Director of Device Disposal and Consulting, who specializes in ATF-compliant disposal of explosive units used in fire suppression applications, as well as the proper disposal of condensed aerosol generators as they reach their end of life. So, Shane, really enjoyed visiting with you today. So, finally, how can people get in touch with you, DD&C, maybe to learn more? And, my gosh, make use of your device library and the additional resources that you have.
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, thanks for the opportunity and the platform. As I said, marketing's not our strong suit, but fortunately, word of mouth has been. And really, that's how a lot of our customer base has gotten with us. Is they go to things like FSSA, or they go to an ASED convention, and right, they just happen to be sitting around dinner and talking about it, and all of a sudden our name gets dropped, and that's fantastic. But if any of your listeners are in a position where they want to get in touch with us, it's very simple. We have a website. It's www.dd-c.biz. You can go on there. There's a contact deal. You just click on that, and it will get in contact with us that way. If you just want to send an email, it's pretty simple. It's disposal@dd-c.co. Or you can give us a call, area code 402-460-5951. That's the main office number. And then my direct email is smullen@dd-c.co. So that's how you can get a hold of us.
And that's how business is conducted in the 21st century, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, I want to stress, I guess, for us that, we've kind of kept our spoon in our own bowl with this particular industry. And we really, right, that's really all we focus on are firms that are involved in the suppression or explosion protection arena. And again, started off with the explosives disposal, and that's been great. It is our bread and butter, and we're very grateful for that. But also, with the relationship that we've developed over the years with Statix as their primary disposal firm for their units, that's been very helpful as well. And the word of mouth is really what's gotten out there through the years. So we're very grateful for that.
Well, look, this has been a great interview. I really appreciate your expertise, and I'm hoping that this interview on Rapid Access Radio presented by ProTech Central will be of benefit to individuals, companies, and vendors who might come across these types of applications. So we'll be sure and post up all of Shane's contact information when we post this particular podcast. And of course, if you ever have applications along the way that might intersect with Shane's expertise, we certainly encourage you to do that. So, Shane, thanks again, brother. You're the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I appreciate the opportunity and the platform. This is great.
My gosh, you have really rocked it in this area, and so proud of you, and also the value. Truly, the value that you bring to the marketplace by doing this correctly, it really helps to know that there are people who want to do it right, like Shane Mullen, and he's going to make sure that he's going to do it right for you, too. So, friends, thanks again for listening today on Rapid Access Radio presented by ProTech Central, and we look forward to having you welcome us again to your listening ears when we resume. Thanks for listening today. Plan to join us again when our guest will be Luis Gonzalez of Standard Fluids Corporation and our discussion of fire-suppressing fluids and the emergence of immersive computer cooling to meet the growing demands of the artificial intelligence computing world.